Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Lisa Lampanelli and Gene Simmons. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, in a round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, he wants to rock and roll all night and complain about traffic every day. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all you do for us. We show up every day for you, and you show up every day for us, and that's what we love. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Don't just start eating like you got nine rectums.
Lisa Lampanelli's going to be on. I think we should play a little Rotten Tomatoes with her she calls in, so that ought to be fun. It's Bald Brian's birthday. I'm the worst combination son, husband, friend, and coworker of all. That is me. I realized only this year that my wife's birthday was one day away from my mom's birthday.
Oh, wow.
And I now realize
that's understandable for you.
That Brian's birthday is one day away from my dad's birthday.
Damn.
Wow.
Never.
Hell yeah.
How long have you been working? I know how long you've known your dad. How long have you been working with Brian?
Don't ask.
Okay.
Don't ask a question he doesn't know.
Oh, he probably came in. I would say he came in as a phone screener. I probably started Loveline in 97,
no 6
or 7. Right. And he came on as a phone screener probably a couple years into my reign over there. Probably 99, 2000.
2002.
2002. We went that long without you.
It might have been very early 02 because I remember being at K-Rock for 9/11, screening calls and taking calls, people asking for emergency numbers and stuff. And then it was a year after that, I think, or a year just a little bit after that I started at Loveline. So either late 01 or early 02.
So we had Tara, Don't Call Me Tara, goddammit.
Mm-hmm.
Was she there when you were there as well?
She was already established. And I was a listener and a fan of the show, so I knew who she was. I knew Anderson, I knew Ann, I knew Tara, Don't Call Me Tara.
Goddammit.
Goddammit.
Yeah,
yep.
She was my favorite. I hope she married someone rich. Boy, do I hope she married somebody rich.
She is married. I don't know if he's wealthy.
He better have money. Because one of my famous, you know, we think all this stuff started with Jen whatever, and you're not the boss of me, and all that kind of stuff. We all think that stuff's like 10 minutes old.
Right. The cracks were in the levee much earlier.
Absolutely. You could see those cracks forming. And, this is a pie for Bald Brian.
Oh, wow.
It smokes, it really is a pie.
To blow out.
Thanks, Gary.
And then then Gary's going to remove it.
And then, Brian, you have something to wash it down with.
Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday.
Spray it with going to spray it with cancer juice.
Now the pie has cancer.
Thank you, Gary.
I got Brian an assortment of Cokes and Diet Cokes.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'd like to.
As you probably know, just real quick, when you have a kid now that, you know, Tessa's a week away from turning 1 year old, and I'm like, my only thought on today, I swear to God, I forgot it was my birthday when I woke up, part of it's Christie's in New York, but I'm like, you know what? Tessa's birthday's in a week. That's my only thought on today because, you know, she's now, you know, number one.
You passed the parent test.
Yes.
Is that what the parent test is?
I guess. Yeah, okay. That's pretty good.
You do. Yeah, you tend to want to, I guess what you need for a parent is, I'm now putting the finishing touches on Natalia's room. Natalia and I went out to IKEA as described last week and looked at some stuff, and we found Sunny a sofa, but we couldn't fit it in the car. But I wrote like the number down. And like on Monday when I got here, I had a certain air of desperation when I was explaining to Rob they need to get the dually and go get the sofa from IKEA and bring it back to the house. All things I could never imagine our parents ever doing for us, like a certain sense of urgency, or it's like, he needs that sofa. Like just weird, just, it's on your list of things to do, which right. is stuff for your kids. Yeah.
My dad put up a basketball hoop for me and my brother, more for my brother than me, and my brother ended up playing varsity basketball and won like a section title. He wasn't like the star player, but I mean, it paid off, I guess, in a little bit of a little way.
I do.
That wasn't, you know, crazy building a treehouse or something.
I do, like, there's a part of me. All of this stuff falls under Pennywise and Pound Foolish. You participating.
Thank you for bringing up one of my favorite phrases, by the way.
You, it is, right?
Yes, great.
And favorite
yes,
clown.
That's right.
See, everybody I know who's a loser is Pennywise and Pound Foolish. And I don't even like the word wise.
No. It's Penny obsessed.
It's greedy yeah. and Pound Foolish. Like, look, it started with my best friend, Chris, who could have easily gotten a free ride to Berkeley or UCLA to play football. And I told him, all you have to do is go to a, you know, 5 weeks of summer school at Van Nuys High and you'll be eligible to play your senior year. And then you're already second team All Valley your junior year. You're already getting recruited already, but you got to just miss a couple days at the beach or banging your girlfriend, you know, out at the levee. Or wherever they sing about, whatever rhymes with Chevy or Daihatsu.
Yeah.
The point is like, just give it up a couple of weeks during the summer and then you'll be Ellen's like, screw that, I'm going to the beach. Yeah. And that's his life.
Just
you know?
Few days less of the beach.
That's Ray's life.
Better.
Like everybody's life. That's my dad's life, which is a basketball. My childhood was a dog in a basketball hoop away from being like 500. Mm-hmm. Like I could have got from the low ones and twos to just like a five with literally a basketball hoop, a medium sized dog, and possibly a basketball. Like if he could have invested,
the cruel just
need the ball.
Well,
you could have fashioned a ball.
You guys think I'm kidding, but I never had a football, and I was football obsessed. I had a football, and I found it at the park, and the threads had been removed, and it was bulging out. So it was like it was wider than it was long.
Someone else discarded it. We used to play
yeah, with that football. He wouldn't break down and just go buy a football or basketball or anything. A dog and a hoop, and I just would have been out front with Rex all day, just keeping myself busy.
Air Bud.
And now I'm rich, and he's poor, and I have no inclination to do anything for him. Like, when I talked to him, happy birthday, by the way, if you're listening.
Hill, man.
No, but I talked to him, and he says, like, I want to go, you know, we'd like to get down to the beach, but we can't afford it, and the house, like, we're just not going to get much from the house, and we're thinking about probably selling the house, and there's some sort of retirement villa, but it's in the valley. It's not at the beach. I'm like, all right, well, good luck.
Yeah.
Good
Let
luck
me know what
to
happens.
You.
Give me your forwarding address. Or don't.
You should have. I'll give you $150. You can go back to 1976 and invest it in me, and then you could have got the condo at the Pacific Palisades, but you didn't do it. Like, everybody, it's, you know, people do this all the time where they like go, I'm a doctor. My dad worked really hard to put me through medical school. So the least I could do was set him up and blah, blah, blah. Or I owe so much for it's a cultural thing. It's not just, hey, you got to love your kids. You love the kids. You don't expect anything in return. Well, you don't expect anything in return, but in a weird way, you expect everything in return. Mm-hmm. Like you expect that person to do for you what you did for them so many years ago and now in return, like the gratitude that person has. And then the positive win-win cycle is with all the respect and love and affection and encouragement and whatever, you have a much higher chance of creating a little earner.
Yeah.
Now you've got somebody who's got a couple of ducats together, doesn't resent the bejesus out of you, and can easily make those whatever later years so much better.
They feel a spiritual or emotional debt, which can't, you know, will never be repaid. They'll like to keep, you know, paying it off and out of love or obligation or whatever.
Yes. Anyway.
It's amazing how many people don't invest, whether it's those emotional investments you're talking about or like literal 401ks or savings accounts. Like I read a stat. I was like, the average American has $3,000 in savings.
Is that not good?
That's not a good number.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems, and again, you know, it's this sort of personal responsibility thing. Politicians sort of take that number and go, do you see Americans don't have enough money to even put away $5,000? Every loser I know has been to Hawaii 3 times. Every loser I know owned a jet ski or ski-doo at some point. Every loser I know decided to get some cool rims for his truck.
They've had stuff.
Or do an 8-ball of cocaine. Don't give me the, we just don't have the money for that.
They got the money.
It's not as easy for them as it might be for somebody else. There's plenty of people who could go to Maui 3 times and sock away money for college. There's always
choices.
Yeah. Please,
stressing
it's choices
from an early age.
Please, the parents, the families, the folks I knew, the idea of prioritizing your kids was bizarre and foreign. Like it was an insane foreign thought. The number one goal was for them to get out of the house, them to turn 18 and hit the bricks. That was the only and number one goal. And I know it's true because the second all of us hit the bricks, nobody talked to anybody about anything ever again. It wasn't like Ray was having a sit down with his mom, Irene, and they were discussing home ownership when he was 24. No. Out. The number one thing is to be left alone. Like if you're a parent and your number one goal is to be left the fuck alone.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bad quality.
Yeah.
My dad.
Yeah, if it's not your number one goal, then it's definitely a bad quality.
My dad's top 3 goals were to be left alone.
Left alone and why you're still talking to me.
And left alone. Like just left alone. That was his. That's my mom's top qualities, too. It's like, I want to be left alone. Which is insane. It's insane once you have kids, especially. You couldn't imagine thinking that way.
No, and it's ironic that if their number one goal was to each be left alone, they're doing it completely wrong by being broke. If you had all the money in the world, you could be left alone comfortably.
Get your own island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not move in with your ex-wife's parents.
Yeah, you're kind of forced to
bunk
mitigate
up
amongst society.
Yeah, you can ride your dolphin over to Brando's island.
Yes.
You go Roman ride style where you stand on the two dolphins and go like they used to do at SeaWorld.
Yes.
And you come back as the dolphin.
I don't think Pete would be down with that anymore.
No. I don't think
they're
so.
They're not your vehicle.
The Roman ride?
No.
Anyone ever see that? Dude would stand on both of them and just take them away. All right, real quick.
So, yeah, happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday.
Like you were saying.
Happy birthday to Brian. You got a basketball hoop, everybody. Tara Don't Call Me Tara, probably back in 99 when I came in because we had one too many, like, we had like 4 methadone calls in a row or like 4 suicide calls in a row. And famously, I walked around the booth, the studio into the booth, where she was watching The Simpsons, I believe, while she was screening phone calls. And I like it when you have to explain to dumb people that they can't multitask, and they go, what'd you say? Huh? And then you go, you can't multitask? And they go, yes, I can.
What am I doing right now, bro?
It's right up there with me saying write things down. If I'm telling you to write something down, it's based on a rich history of you forgetting shit, and thus you arguing. It's like I don't snore. Like, look, I was tossing and turning all night. Now it's 7:45 in the morning, and I'm telling you snore. I can't believe with a straight face you're telling me you don't snore. But write stuff down. I can multitask. No, you can't. So she was enjoying The Simpsons. And I came in, and I said, look, no more methadone calls. You can't stack up 4 methadone calls, and it's too big a bummer. We need to mix it up a little. And right in the middle of it, she like pointed at the TV and went, oh, Bart. And I said, hey, Listen to me. Over here.
Ay caramba.
Over here. I need you to focus on me. When I'm telling you something, I need you to listen to me. And she goes, I can watch TV and listen to you.
Don't have a cow, man.
Yeah. And I said, she went, ha, ha. I said, look, I got a minute in between commercials here. I need you to kind of focus on me. She goes, I can watch TV and focus on you. I said, I don't think you can. So just listen to what I'm saying. And she goes, I can watch. I said, hey, when I tell you to listen to me, I need you to listen to me. And she goes, you're not my boss. I said, yeah, I am your boss. And she said, you can't fire me.
Oh, my God.
And I said, yeah, I think I can fire you. I'm pretty sure I can fire you.
You can strongly suggest it.
Oh, my God. And she was getting $7 an hour to screen phone calls as she was 22.
And you proved it to her by keeping her on for another 5 years.
That's right. That's right.
Stick it to the man.
Well, it came to a point where I think I enjoyed the misery of her more so. Yeah. And then also,
she was a good mascot.
Drew was such a spineless wuss that he'd never enforce anything ever whenever I said we had to do anything over there. He would never back me up on
what
it.
I do so, now.
It's because you're a puss, Drew. Undermining, too. Huge undermining puss. All right. But on that,
he's great.
So you got your cancer 31?
No, 29.
29?
Wait, hold on. 2009, so I was summer 2009, so I was 30.
30, almost yep. 31.
Yep, exactly. Am I working I was away? Months away from being 31.
All right, so I didn't feel that far off.
30.
All right, and here we are knocking on the door of seeing that 40th birthday, man. That's huge.
I think it was Christy, or maybe it was my dad. I don't know if he wants to be saying this. A good friend of mine called me on the way in today. His dad has cancer and it spread to his brain. And he called ostensibly for advice. I think he just wanted someone to talk to, like someone to sort of bounce some thoughts off of and stuff. And I'm more than happy to be there for anyone, let alone, you know, good friend of mine. And he, again, ostensibly called me to wish me happy birthday, but then it led into stuff about his dad. And he's like, hey, man, I'm glad just to be able to call you today. I'm glad that, you know, didn't know if this day would, you know, be here every year. And I'm glad that it is. And I totally agree. I take it for granted sometimes. I mean, I love coming into work, but it's, you know, it's 5 days a week. It's, you know, it's a job. You kind of forget that, you know, oh, we're lucky to have it. We're lucky to be here. We're lucky to have a kid or, you know, whatever it is that you're lucky to have. So if this is any inspiration to anyone, take a minute to take stock and appreciate what you have.
Medical update. Haven't had one in a while.
I just had an MRI a couple of weeks ago. It came back great. In fact, if anything, there's even a little more. The way it works is the MRI takes, you know, thin slices of the image. So, like, you know, it's like from the top down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to the top of my head and pointing down towards my jaw. Mm-hmm. And so depending on the slice, literally the slice of the image, the tumor can look a little the same or a tiny bit smaller, or just, you know, depending on how the image goes over. And the image looked great. There's no enhancement, as the doctor says, which is, you know, flare-ups, other little spots or whatever. He said, you look great. You're doing fantastic, and we're going to keep the plan going. So
nice.
Knock on wood, we're chugging along.
Hey, remember Brian's last medical update?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Christmas.
Such an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The worst human.
All right, Lampinelli's.
I meant that to be lighthearted.
Calling, and he did a wonderful job of executing that. Lampinelli will call in soon enough. I think we'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game with her. I'll tell you guys about BetDSI. 20 years paying winners. A-plus rated on sportsbook review sites. I play there myself. I recommend BetDSI to all the folks that want to enjoy a little wagering during the football season. Or we got the Canelo Triple G fight coming up. Use your sports knowledge to make a little extra cash. Easy to use mobile playing interface. Play, win, get paid, that easy. Odds on all things football, including live betting and props as games are in action. And all major sports, politics, reality TV, pretty much anything you like, anything you're a fan of, anything you know, you can grab it over there at BetDSI. Use promo code Corolla25 for $25 free wager for when you register. So decide to deposit. And you get your get a 200% bonus match on your money. So what do? Go to BetDSI. Use the promo code Corolla25 for a free $25 wager on the house and 200% extra bonus when you decide to put in your deposit. BetDSI. All right, so we'll play the game with Lampinelli. I came up with what I think would be a great, maybe the best jackass stunt ever.
Oh,
the best jackass stunt ever. First, a quick a quick question. You guys know more than I do. Took Philly Cheesesteak out last night for a walk. Turned out of the driveway, made a left, the same direction I always go and always walk him. Got across the intersection on the small street, and he came to a stop. And once Phil stops, there's no moving him. Mm-hmm. And he just, he'll make a grunt noise. Like you can, what you do is you pull the leash, his legs stay in the same place, but all the fur goes around his head, and then he makes a grunt. He just goes, mm. And he just stood there, and he wouldn't go the direction we were going, and always go traditionally. I take him for a walk in the mornings usually, but sometimes in the afternoon, and this time of the evening, he was not going that direction. So I, after tugging on him for a while and deciding that was worthless, I said, all right, fine, we'll go down the, we'll hit the street. We're at an intersection. We'll go the other way. And the other direction we go, and sometimes the direction we come back. And he dug in, did his grunt, did his fur pull, and said, no, not going that way. And I started looking around for dogs or people mm-hmm. or cars or anything. Nothing, empty streets, nobody on the street, nobody walking a pet, nobody doing anything. And then at a certain point, I said, all right, you want to head back the other direction, like toward the house, and just go the other way? And he's like, yes, I do. And we just walk the other direction. Now, I don't know. Someone will tweet me. I have no idea what goes on. I go out this direction every time. I make a left. We take a long walk around there. But on occasion, if Sonny's with us, we'll hang a right because he likes going down to the cul-de-sac or whatever at the end. But that's on occasion. 91% of it is take a left and keep going straight. A small percentage of it is take a left and then take another left and go straight. Both those options off the table for Phil last night. Wanted to go nowhere. Didn't. It's not like, oh, he had diarrhea or he took a dump on this lawn over there. Or it was nothing.
Did he want to go back in the house or do you want to go on a different route?
He wanted to go on a different route. We took a long route around and we walked plenty. We had no interest in going back to the house. We're going back toward the house. He was just going to walk past it. And that was it. There were no treats at that time of the hour. There's no any variables. He just decided no.
I would never ask someone this because they'd never have an answer. But you're hypervigilant enough that you might remember. Was there a breeze coming from that direction by chance? You think he smelled something coming from that way that he just wasn't down with?
Barbecue.
Could have been something.
Or something.
Could have been something. But then he didn't want to go the other direction either, which is not the opposite, but teed off and going the other direction. I've walked him so many times that time of night. There was nothing going on. It wasn't hot. It wasn't cold. It's always the same conditions. Mm. I can't imagine what it could have possibly have been. He just decided we weren't going that way.
I think he's dipping his toe and seeing if he can exert his dominance.
Yeah. He probably
won.
Terrible twos.
Yeah. Later that evening, he ear-fucked Sonny. But I don't think those were connected. Oh. I don't think those events were connected. All right. Best, Gary, you can pull it up, but don't run it yet. All right. Does anyone ever really see a table saw, like a table saw when it's in full effect, like running off 240? Oh, okay, I'll run you this first. When that thing is going, that thing is the scariest, hairiest item in the shop. What if I said Jackass, greatest stunt ever, be like Wee Man or Steve-O putting his junk into that. Now you can go, well, how's that going to work?
Yeah,
they have a device called a saw stop, which stops the blade when it gets the contact. I think it's an electro contact of like the moisture of the flesh or whatever.
I actually know a lot about this because Christy's dad owns a powerful shop. They sell the saw stop, and his son, my brother-in-law, Christy's brother, former intern Chris, sold a ton of these to Sony Pictures just up the street from them.
Right.
So like I know a little bit about this thing.
No class action suits after the sale?
No, it's a remarkable device.
They put it, they test it. We'll show you the clip. They test it with a hot dog.
Oh, God.
They take a hot dog. But how much to put your sack in it, Gina?
Well, watch it first.
I don't think there's enough money.
You got to watch it.
Oh!
So all it leaves is just a nick. So now, how much? Because it's just going to leave a nick.
People should watch this on their own because it's remarkable. But what we're watching is a table saw going full blast, and the guy just, you know, moves a piece of wood with a hot dog on top right towards it as though it's a finger, and things stops, and basically the gear breaks,
right,
and it stops and ducks out of
now,
the
way. Essentially, and it leaves a nick that's a 16th of an inch deep. Now, it's almost like me kind of saying...
You'll need a Band-Aid.
Yes, it's like me saying, how much, if you pulled out a piece of your sack, or mid-shaft, pulled out a piece of your sack, and I took this, like, sharp popsicle stick and just dragged it along and just whacked it once to draw blood. Like, someone might go, $5,000, mm-hmm, or something like that. Now we're going to involve the table saw.
That's right.
And now there's a crazy psychological component to
absolutely
it,
yeah,
which
chicken
is insane, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's still going to be the same effect.
I'm in negotiating mode now. Are we talking about, like, can we stretch the balls out and do the sacky part in the middle, the webbing?
Yes, we can go web sack.
Yeah, I want the testicular trauma to be mitigated as much as possible.
Right. We can go web sack.
Using big words is not going to help you, Brian.
We can go web sack.
Oh, I want the balls at 10 and 2.
Right. We can go web sack.
I would do it.
Yeah, what price?
Oh, what was the price?
You'd do it for free. Stop there.
My first thought was...
We'd blow up the internet.
My first thought was $10,000, but then someone's like, I'll give you $9,000. I'm like, eh.
You got to think about that when that thing kicks on, though.
I know,
and it's
buzzing. It is terrifying.
I figure.
I have confidence in this device. I have to shear myself. You personally know this device.
I would, now, the way I would rig this is I would go a Tom Cruise kind of. Sorry, what movie am I thinking of? Tom Cruise dropping
Mission
down.
Impossible.
Mission Impossible.
I'd go
Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise harness. And I wouldn't let you do it alone. This is all about safety.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a buddy system.
I'd have a couple of guys who do the spotting in the high school cheerleading competitions.
Okay. Yeah.
They got a cradle going.
Right.
They're like well-built guys.
Yeah.
They don't show it off, but they're well-built, and they got a good stance.
They're sturdy.
You know what I mean? We'd have you on the harness.
They're wearing sweaters and white pants, but you know they're in
shape. We have the sack exposed, and they'd be kind of guiding you in. You know what I'm saying?
Steady.
That's right.
Keep it going.
That's
perfect
right.
Angle.
U-G-L-Y. They're cheering.
I always said that's the greatest job in the world because it's the only job in the world where there's 15, 16, and 17-year-old chicks in a pyramid, and if you don't stand underneath them and stare at their assholes, you'll get fired.
Yeah. It's dereliction of duty if you're not
now,
100% locked on the panties.
If you just work at a high school and there's like the A-frame ladder on the wheels and the high school and the cheerleaders are hanging up the banner on the ceiling and you just stand underneath them and stare at them,
that's a
you
fire
will
end.
Soon get fired.
Yep. Okay, wait. If you're a cheerleader catcher guy and you do the A-frame ladder thing during the day, someone catches you and tries to bust you. Hey, there's a game today. Just getting game shape.
Yeah.
Get my game face on.
Yeah, that's right.
It's your impunity.
Yeah, I tied my shoe once. People died. People died. Well, that was my movie of the week, was The Spotter.
Mm-hmm.
That this guy, after the great Tulane pyramid
collapsed
he now has to take. It's kind of like Bill Bixby had to do with the Hulk and Lorenzo Lamas had to do with Renegade. Like, he's now roams the Badlands.
Yeah.
But he saves... You know, he saves the pyramids. He saved, but they just keep. They turn around and say, that man just saved. And they turn around and look, he's gone.
We see him driving the highway at a Texas set a Friday night. He sees the lights in the distance, like, pulling off the road.
That's right.
Goes to the stadium.
All right, Gary, is Lampanelli on? Didn't Gary just send me a thing? It says Lampanelli's on, but I don't see. She's on line two.
Line two, I think.
Okay. Lisa Lampanelli?
Corolla, can I tell you something right now? You're going to laugh at this.
Yes.
The second I got on hold with you, I hear the gnarliest thing for a guy to put his sack in, and I go, are they talking about my cunt? Because honestly, that's literally what I go, is this the best intro I've ever had?
No, we're talking about something. Well, Brian, how much for Lisa Lampanelli's cunt? $9,000 for a saw blade.
$9,000 for a saw blade. If it's 10x that, $90,000?
Lisa Lampanelli. Right. Stuffed is the name of the play. It's playing off of Broadway. Previews start October 5th, opening night October 19th. Tell me about this, Lisa. I'm excited.
Well, Adam, as you know, I'm a terrific comedian, but I have lots of feelings, and none of them are good. So I decided to write a play about my food issues because that's pretty much been my whole life, you know? So I wrote this play with four characters. Luckily, I only play one of them. And the other three are actual actors who have been in movies and television, much like Nikki Blonsky from Hairspray, the movie, etc., Orange is the New Black, whatever. So I wrote this play. Suddenly it gets financing. Suddenly the GM of Hamilton wants to GM it. And I said, this is a frickin' play. So we're in rehearsals now. I'm actually calling you from my car, from the in our rehearsal studio. There's no freaking internet or phone service, so they keep us there against equity rules. So I'm doing this play. It's fantastic.
I love it. My daughter and her friends saw Hamilton over the weekend. They were absolutely blown away. I was happy for her and then horrified when I saw her wearing the sweat jacket, because I knew that was $45. And then
at
some point when they yelled, when they yelled to my son, "Don't worry, we got you a hat." Does he need a hat?
Now, Adam,
yes,
I will tell you right at this second, I'm wearing a Hamilton hoodie myself because, like, I got hoodwinked into all that merch because I saw it and I was like, oh my God, this is the story of my life if I had a dream. And I feel now that I am a playwright, I will be known as the Lin-Manuel Miranda of Off-Broadway, although I don't have to be a Latino to realize that dream.
I got to tell you, I love it. And I think the greatest thing about being in the profession we're in is just a constant evolving. Like, yeah, you're doing stand-up, then you're doing a TV show, but writing a play, writing a woman. I was listening to my daughter inspired by Hamilton, and I thought, I'd like to write a play. When I can't sing, I can't dance, but I just mean a play.
That'd be great.
Why not write a play? And I'm so glad that now inspired by Lisa Lampanelli. Lisa, how does it work? You do the previews. That starts October 5th. Opening night is October 19th. Tickets at stuffedplay.com. And then what? You see how it's received? You see what happens after that?
Oh, no, I don't care how it's received because, as you know, I'm quite famous and have sold a lot of tickets through February already.
Oh my God.
So I feel like it's going to be out there. It's going to make money. So even if the New York Times says we suck a big cock in hell, I don't really care because people are still going to come to see it. But, Adam, I can tell you from experience, they didn't say it sucked a cock last year, so I have a feeling that it won't be sucking one now. It's really good. I'm actually, Adam, you know I'm modest, and I know I have very limited ability in most areas, especially sex. I am terrific at writing this show. I stink at everything else, but I'm really good at this.
Is the idea then ultimately to franchise it and have it running multiple places at multiple times and having somebody doing a better job at being Lisa Lampanelli than you?
Louis Anderson shows
up. Oh, yes. Yes, I hope to have everyone's career take a downturn so they could play me. Like, Janine Garofalo could play me when she comes off of Broadway. Amy Schumer, in about 5 years, when she gets desperate like I am, you could play Lisa Lampanelli. I think this, when Roseanne's show gets canceled off ABC, come in, Roseanne, play me before the weight loss. How it franchised out.
How is the weight doing, Lisa?
Dude, 5 year anniversary this month, lost 107 pounds and kept it off.
Wow.
Very nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's great. So I always ask everybody who is either a dietitian or nutritionist or lost the weight or whatever, I always like to just ask them, give me breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So give me Lisa Lampanelli's breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Okay, well, I hate to tell you this and disappoint you, but you know, since I had the gastric sleeve surgery, my stomach is very tiny. So you have to eat six tiny meals a day. So today, I had a protein shake for breakfast. This sounds so boring. I apologize, but they're delicious.
The story's always boring. It's like I have a scrambled egg for breakfast, I have a salad for lunch, and a piece of meat for dinner. Like, it's always the same story, but I'm just curious because we never talk to people who have gone through the procedure that you've been through.
Sure. Oh, of course. Okay, so today was a protein shake. I made it with cacao and protein powder and coconut and bananas, so that was delicious, and almond milk. Then for lunch, I had another smoothie, but of a berry flavor, because you should eat some fruit also, and some kale and all that crap. And I had a power bar also, but not that brand. I eat a brand that's much more healthy. Then So that was my second meal. My third meal, the tiny meal, was a one of those bowls you get where you put the quinoas and the little, what do you call, vegetables, and maybe a little bit of beef. But I'm so, the stomach's so small, honestly, Adam, it's horrible. You can eat maybe 4 or 5 bites, then you save the rest for later. So throughout the day, it's these small rabbit meals. But let me tell you something, too. That's what I was saying today. The way you keep the weight off is to not deprive yourself forever. Like, if I'm at a birthday party, I'm eating cake. If I'm not eating cake, shoot me in the head. You have to balance your good behavior with a little bad on the side sometimes.
Can you go out on a Saturday night and go out to a good steakhouse and enjoy a meal? Maybe not like the former you, but
right.
Can you enjoy that evening?
Yes, I always do, because before most of my shows and between like matinee and the night shows at the play, I'll go out to dinner with every friend who comes to see the show. And I order 3 courses. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be that chick who orders just a small salad or whatever shit. I hate that person. So I say, you know what? Order the steak, order this, that, the sides. Then I have a few bites of each, take the rest home. Luckily, my mom, she enjoys a leftover to beat the band, and she's a fat bitch, so she don't care what she eats. So luckily, none of the food goes to waste, so I'm not harming anything. And I honestly have a good meal, and I will have dessert, and I will have a few bites of it, and I just have to.
How much, you know, you watch these plays. So I went to Book of Mormon, and then, of course, the kids or my daughter and her friends all went to Hamilton and all that kind of stuff. As a person that creates things, I feel like there's so many moments that are found through the rehearsal process or even just being up on stage. How much of a play, at least in your experience, how much of yours is sort of found through the repetition and the rehearsal and even the shows?
Well, you do. This is 7 years in development, okay? And from what I heard, it took him 7 to write Hamilton, and mine has no songs or no dancing, so I'm a little bit remedial. But it did take a long time to develop, so you do reading. Like, you'll read, like, Act 1 or whatever for a bunch of people, smart people who are in the theater, and you get notes. But then once you start rehearsals, like right now, I'm sitting outside, as I said, in the car talking to you, and we just changed this whole section because we're spoofing The View and calling it The Rear View because we're all, like, kind of food obsessed. So we basically just cut out, like, 3 pages of it because we go, okay, it's not quick enough, it doesn't flow. So I think, really, rehearsal is huge for it. And it'll probably, that's why you have previews, by the way. October 5th through 19th is really, you know, finding its way and making sure everything's perfect. So that's why the tickets are a little cheaper for previews. But, yeah, it never sort of locks in and ends.
Is there a number of pages that you're aiming for? Like, you know, when a publishing house says, we want you to write a book, you go, how long's the book? And they go, between 80 and 90,000 words. And then I go, how long's the book? And they go, oh, like 250 or 275 pages. Like, is there, for an average comedy, like what you're doing?
Right. Well, they had to dumb it down for me in language, too, because I was like, okay, like, how many minutes do you need this to run? Because typical shows that are plays and that have, like, sort of a subject matter, like a vagina monologue, Love, Loss, and What I Wore, 90 minutes. No one wants to sit around through an intermission to hear the 4 fat bitches talk again. You know, you want to leave.
Right.
So I think the subject matter is a 90-minute show. So that's about 63 pages in my estimation in a 12-point Times Roman writing there.
And
so
yes.
It was about 90 minutes. If it goes anywhere over 90, I'm sorry, what else is there to say?
If you can't get it done in that, you're probably not doing it right. And last question for Elise and Lampanelli. Love, have you found love again?
Nope, still celibate. Now we're going on 4.5 years by choice. Not like anybody's really offering to throw their thing into my saw blade, but I will say that I know that metaphor was all mixed up, but it makes sense to me. No, I'm still very happily single. I haven't had sex. I haven't flirted. I think this is why I'm working on myself. I'm doing the play. Oh, I see you probably know that today my new podcast started. I've finally ventured into this podcast world, so So I'm having a good time with my life, so the dating isn't happening.
Get stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Here's a question. Ever any thoughts? I feel like women are so much more fluid about everything sexual. You know, you probably know where I'm heading here. But I mean, it's like you can go, I haven't gotten laid in 4 years. I don't miss it. That's pretty fluid. Right. Most guys couldn't do that. And speaking of exchanging fluid, ever think about a woman?
I have not. Once I did in my 30s. Actually, no, I was about 30 years old. I just had a really bad breakup, and I thought, maybe I should make out with a chick or something, but at the time I was fat, and I couldn't find a lesbian around because I was in a small town, even though, like, fat chicks who are lesbians are, like, so in demand back then.
No softball teams?
So now I never went to the lady pond. I did not, but I will tell you, Adam, I joke around, but I'm not kidding. Ever since I got my hair shaved on the sides, these lesbos are sniffing around my
body,
just like it's a signal. Dude, ladies, lesbians, it's not a signal, okay? But if by the time I'm 50, 60, I don't find somebody, I may have to jump onto the tuna boat. I'll do it. Why not?
Jump back in.
I'm jealous of the fluidity and the sexuality with women, because I wish when I was like 26 and my stripper girlfriend dumped me and broke my heart, I could have been like, I think I'm just going to blow guys for like 6 months until I get back on my knees or back on my feet.
Fall into the warm embrace.
Like, I needed a gentle caress, and it didn't really matter if the guy had junk or was a gal. Right. Like, I wish, it's weird, like, you think you're making fun of it. I'm really not. Like, I wish that you would open up half the world to me sexually.
Well, also, I think men can't go without sex. It's like a biological thing. Women never have to have sex. I'm sorry. Women don't want to have sex. I'm sick of these chicks being like, oh, you're a cougar, this and that. No, I'm not. I just have an old pussy. Just stop it.
That's right.
It's like, you know what? When Bob Barker tries to follow you around to spay and neuter it, you know it's fast.
Stuffed is the name of the play. And Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli is the name of the podcast. You can get that on iTunes and everywhere you find podcasts. And again, the preview is October 5th. Through October 19th. Always great to talk to you, Lisa Lampanelli.
Am I the only one, Lisa, who's dying to know what brand power bar you eat? Not the power bar. What is the actual one you eat?
Would you like to know?
Yes.
Because they're really good. And there's nothing wrong with saying it. It's not like they're a freaking sponsor or something. There's a bar called RX Bar. And it has almonds, egg whites, dates, and one other ingredient that's protein. It's literally all protein. So you don't really have any fillers, et cetera. And they're really good for you. And I was like, I just need energy, and that's what I use. So, hey, buy them or don't, but they're really good.
You know, they're a sponsor for Crying Out Loud, Lynette's podcast, and I've had them before, and they're good. Thank you, Lisa Lampanelli.
Adam, may I say something seriously? When I saw you on my list, I was so happy, and I honestly love you, and I think the world of you. So thank you for everything.
Right back at you, sweet tits, and I'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.
Hey, Gary, is there a promo code we should use?
Love
if you want to order the RX bar.
FCOL, maybe?
Well, look.
Okay.
It's typically FCOL is the promo code for that show.
Okay, we got the game to play. We got a couple of calls up there. Let's see, Monrovia, line one.
Very curious.
Hey, Robert?
rxbar.com/loud.
Okay.
There you go. Use that. Check out the bar. Robert, 40, Monrovia.
Give me just a second. I'm writing down that promo code.
Thank you, Robert. You're a good man. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to let you know. I didn't know if you're aware. I'm a Redskins fan.
Mm-hmm.
There is a 30 for 30 that involved the Redskins. In 1985, it looks like the Marshals did the same thing that you're always saying, which is free cock for Raiders fans. In this case, the Marshals out in Washington, D.C., went through a list of names of everybody who had outstanding warrants and basically told them, you guys are getting free Redskins tickets. Show up to this brunch.
Yeah.
You know, we're cordially inviting you and all this stuff. So I just wanted to make you aware. I don't know if...
I did see that 30 for 30, and I've always known that no matter what anyone says about not being able to afford, you know, their payments for their deadbeat dad payments, their child support payments, or their warrants, or their whatever, the second you tell them, show up here, free buffet, we'll get you tickets for the game, all of a sudden you are can do.
Yep. And very capable.
So this is kind of my gestalt of life, which is, as long as we know that the same human being can be extremely can do in one department and can don't, or a tree sloth on an either rag when it comes to other things, then let's simply motivate them. That's all. That's why I'm not a big fan of the just send the check to their apartment and they'll just cash it every, you know, twice a month. That is the not motivate. The motivate, I just see the same people. I see insanity when people, we're just talking about pussy or the lack thereof. Look at the laziest guys you know, and then look at it when it comes to them getting laid. And the lengths and the calories burnt and what they can do. One of the biggest loser guys I went to high school with was the biggest loser in the world. But when it came to trying to get laid, there were calories. There were very many calories spent on that. All right. Let's see. I want to play the Rotten Tomatoes game because it's been on my mind for a while now. Gary, what lines should we be talking to? Oh, okay, so we got those two. All right, get the game ready. Let me tell you guys about Canelo. Oh, Triple G. Ooh, this fight's coming up. This is a big fight. This is a fight fans fight. This is not going to be a couple of big heavyweights hanging on each other. These are going to be two guys in their prime going toe-to-toe. Trading leather, man. This is a can't-miss event for sports fans everywhere. The biggest star in the sport taking on the widely recognized baddest man on the planet. That's Canelo and Triple G, man. Don't miss it. Canelo and Golovkin. Saturday. That's September 16th. That's coming up. What is that, this week? This Saturday? Yep. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. And I think we're going to have Canelo on the show, I think Friday, Gary?
Yeah, correct? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. There we go. Huh? Is that how it works? Yeah. Tomorrow, everybody. So check that out. And again, get the pay-per-view. That's coming up this Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. All right. Let's see. Line 3 and 4. Let's play a little Rotten Tomatoes, and then we'll get into line 3 and 4.
Archie! He names the flicks, and the gang makes flicks mad, Archie! He's a sloppy guy, and when he dropped by, the king has to guess. Do the critics score spanking, rotten or fresh? Actually.
All right. I made such an incredible run last time. I was in the minus going into the last round.
Damn, impressive.
Heartbreaker.
All right. Let's see. What is the theme, Dawson?
We're doing a road trip theme to tie into our Tommy John deal.
All right.
Where you want to share your stories with us about how your Tommy John underwear helped you on a road trip.
Perfect.
Probably would have helped these guys in these movies. We will start with Seth Rogen, who was going to go on a road trip, and then he decided to stop by his mom's house first, and she said, "Dude, I waited for you, man." And she went on the road trip with him. In 2012's The Guilt Trip.
Oh, Babs.
I forgot about this movie. It's always weird to me when the Jane Fondas of the world retire from acting for like 25 years, and then they come back with Monster in Law or something like
that. Very...
Yeah.
Like, why is this really stupid, sort of fucked out premise of a, you know, 28% on Rotten Tomatoes? Why does this draw you back into acting?
You know, speaking of acting comebacks, I was just literally last night thinking about Rick Moranis and how much I want him back in my life as an actor. Who would you rather have back, Rick Moranis or Gene Hackman?
Oh.
I'll go Moranis just because he's younger.
Okay. I like Moranis.
Okay. Seth, very likable. Didn't hear much about this film. Kind of remember when it came out. Seth's a guy who can make almost everything funny, but the critics,
just like Barbara.
Critics couldn't, they couldn't have loved this one, but they couldn't have hated it. 44.
33.
I also said 33.
Ooh.
The Guilt Trip is rotten at 38%.
Oh, right. in there. So you said 33. Yeah.
Yes.
So we're right there, everybody.
Next up, Britney Spears made a movie, everybody. Her and her cool friends named Kit and Mimi, where Britney plays Lucy. In 2002's Crossroads.
Do they sing in this?
How dare you.
Brian, it was one of your films that you're so...
I have no idea who's in this.
I don't either.
Never been into Britney Spears.
Really?
No. And not physically. I'm going to say, nobody loved this, but it's one of those, this is one of those, like, kind of reminded me of, not The Voice, Star Search, from
Justin to Kelly.
From Justin to Kelly.
Yes!
Like somebody said, like, look, we got 10 minutes to make a movie before everyone forgets about this, so let's go. And they just crank it and shove it out. It kind of reminds me of, like, John Travolta had a hit song, like, you got to make it. I can't sing. Who cares? Get in the studio. That's what this felt like to me.
From Justin to Kelly is actually pretty good.
Okay. So I'm going to say they didn't like it, but I have no idea. I have no idea. So for that, 31.
28.
20.
Crossroads is rotten at 14.
All right. Percent. Okay.
Pretty damn low.
Pretty
I'm sorry. We need the scores again.
31 for me.
28.
And 20 for me.
18.
Liar.
All right.
Next up, Sacha Baron Cohen. Baron Cohen. Probably one of the funniest movies ever to come out. The year was 2006 for Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan.
God, this
is awesome. It's right on with this analysis. This is a fantastic film.
Okay. Yeah. Makes me laugh every time.
Oh, it's so good. It's underrated.
Yeah.
At this point, because it's such a, you know, my wife and all the.
Yeah, all the stuff back at Kazakhstan is great when they're in the cage. She would tease him.
He got, the hunger shows up for dinner.
He got out of the cage. I don't know why back at Kazakhstan always makes me laugh. All right. The critics love this. On the other hand, there had to be a handful that were like put off by the fact that they were making fun of other cultures and.
And pranking people. Pranking is lowbrow. You think it gets a pass?
I gets a pass when you're talking to the guy and he's the comedic expert and he's explained to you what not, how not works or mother-in-law jokes or something. I don't think they mind that.
Okay.
I think they might not like them attacking a culture, like making so much fun of a culture.
Throw the Jew down the well.
Yeah.
Fun fact, by the way, the nation of Kazakhstan was initially very upset about this movie, and they were, you know, demanding apologies. A year or two later, became a huge, massive hit. They sort of adopted it. Like the hold music, if you called the embassy, was the music from this movie. Like they kind of, you know, turned the corner on this.
Yeah. Bad sign for a nation when you condemn a movie or a book or a painting or something, like the whole nation.
Yeah.
That's a bad.
Gets on board.
Bad sign. All right. Critics love this stuff. I'm going to deduct a couple of points because they made fun of a culture, but I got it at 93.
91.
88.
Somebody's on the nose.
Uh-oh.
Borat is certified fresh at 91%.
Wow.
Damn it. Damn it. Oh, he's
see, when
right.
See, when the guy making the Jew down the well jokes is Jewish and foreign, all the passes in the world. Plus, a lot of the
butts except we're still at 91. Like, we should be at 95 or 100 or 99 or whatever. There are films you like much less that are 95.
Yes. Who are the 19 critics who said this is a below-average movie?
They're the ones who got their panties in a bunch because he was taking on a culture or throwing a Jew down a well. All right.
The naked fight.
Top critics have it at 98.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Our next road trip movie features one of the greatest acting drunks, I think, in history. Bruce Dern plays an alcoholic, goes on a road trip with his son to chase after a sweepstakes. Will Forte plays a pretty good alcoholic son in 2013's Nebraska.
That's a great movie.
I was one of those, like, slice of lives that was probably like overrated but still good. Just one of those movies that was good, but I felt like
you're always waiting for something bigger to happen.
Had a little Emperor's New Clothes, like it was good, but there wasn't that much going on, but it was a perfect for critics. Like, nobody's going to go, oh, please, I was bored, or fake, or any of that.
Critic proof.
But I got to say, I held off on this because I just thought it looked boring, even though everyone was telling me it was great, and I finally saw it, and I regretted sleeping on that. It was really well done.
I really enjoyed it, too. That being said, it wasn't about that much.
Didn't the mom character win Best Supporting Actress, or at least nominated?
I think there was something like that. All right, it's going to make me angry if this thing scores higher than Borat, but it may very well because of the way critics are. Nobody said anything bad about this, so even if it was 61 all the way down the road, I have the critics having it. I'm going right back to 93.
94.
90.
Nebraska is certified fresh at 91.
No, I should have gone back to 91. Damn it. I got to say, what'd you do? You went 90?
90.
Oh, you and Brian are not more than 2 points away from each other, and I'm not more than 7 or 10 points away from you, too.
It's so tight.
This is as tight as we get into the last round here.
Our final movie.
Hold on, 91? Right. Yeah. Not nearly as good as Borat. That's my point. Okay.
Our next movie features a Kristen and a Kirsten, Stewart and Dunst, respectively. Adapted from a Jack Kerouac novel that is the leading contributor to the American Institution of Absentee Fatherhood. From 2010, the movie is On the Road.
What?
On the Road. 2010?
Never heard
you made a movie of this?
Adapted.
Wow.
2010.
Huh.
Oh, boy. Right. This is going to be tough. I have no idea.
Taking a real stab.
Ten seconds of this. It's a story you know, and it's filled with faces you know, but yet it's never come up on cable that I'm aware of. So that means they can't like it.
I couldn't tell you definitively if this movie existed.
Amy Adams is in it. Wow. Viggo Mortensen.
Okay.
Woo.
So can't really protect a lead here because everybody's within striking distance of everybody. You want to play it safe, you go 60. On the other hand, I got to make up 8, 10, 12 points. So do I dive down low or do I do a move where I go like 70? And critics like this. It just slipped through the cracks. You never heard of it. I'm going to say... Now, do they punish it because...
This could be a 30% movie.
It could be 30%. Yeah. It could be 74%. We never heard of it. I'm assuming if I heard of it, I would have heard of it if it was good or considered like somebody would have recommended it to somebody. Yes. So for that, 41.
That was my exact logic was if this was any good, someone would have brought it my up. Attention. Yeah. 55.
49.
On the Road is rotten. At 48.
Oh yeah, baby.
Wait, 43?
Wait. I see 43.
The judges?
43.
Go to the judges.
Got a 43 up there.
All right, that's fine. Wow. That's fine. No problem.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yep. Gina, I think you got it, but man, this is very, very, very knotted up here. I don't think there was more than 10 points between first and last here.
Let's see.
How confident do we feel in the calculating abilities?
That only happens once.
We have a tie, but it doesn't matter.
Oh,
for second.
Gina's
first loser.
The tie is for second place. Adam Carolla, you were in that tie. Congratulations. Thank you. You're sharing a podium with one of these guys. And the person you're sharing the podium with will probably shit all over your points because Gina won with 21.
21?
You had to bring me, Brian.
Gina Grad.
She was right there the whole time. What were we? We couldn't have been more than
29. 29.
Ooh, not bad, everybody.
You were exactly right when you posited that they were not more than 2 apart and you were not more than 10 apart. They were at 15, 17, and you were at 27 at the time. It was exact, whatever
you said.
I have
a good sort of working loose math mind, and once again, I bring it up 3 times a month. How could I possibly have been a horrible student? Couldn't I have at least been an average student with my just sort of ability to think?
And the subjects that you were bad in should have been buoyed by the subjects that you were, you know what I mean, geometry or math or whatever. You know, those
things. Horrible student. All right. Let's see. Let me talk to Randy now. You know, are they on? Yeah. No. What are you making the face for?
Because no.
Gene Simmons. Not on.
Oh, they're not on. All right. Well, then we should probably not have him on the.
Yeah,
on the
I'm
board.
Sorry. That was an error. We had to.
Okay.
Just done.
All right. Talk to them in a second. Gene Simmons, the great Gene Simmons. He's a very interesting story. He'll be on The Blower, and we'll talk to him right after this.
From producer Dick Wolf, a new kind of Law & Order series based on true crimes.
Two counts of murder have been filed against Lyle and Eric Menendez.
The story of one family.
Everybody thinks we were this perfect family, but we were a disaster.
And the crime that shocked America.
What these boys did is not the issue. It's why they did it.
Edie Falco stars in Law & Order True Crime, The Menendez Murders. Tuesday, September 26th on NBC.
Mistrial, an inside look at how the criminal justice system works and sometimes doesn't. Written by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris and narrated by Mike Dawson.
Another thing about the Scott Peterson case that has always puzzled us is the widespread, almost unanimous opinion that Scott was guilty before one piece of evidence was introduced. If you examine every high-profile case of the past two decades, O.J., Michael Jackson, Casey Anthony, Robert Blake, the Duke lacrosse team, Dr. Conrad Murray, you'll see that every one of the defendants had some group or constituency that argued on behalf of their innocence. But Scott Peterson didn't. When we took over the case, we soon found out that it was considered an accepted fact that he was guilty.
Mistrial. Available now at iTunes, Audible, and AdamCarolla.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Good sport. It's time for a sports segment. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Good sports.
Ace is getting talking.
Good
shooting jerks with blasters.
Good
nasally podcasters.
Ace
and Shecky, let's do it.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Podcast One Sports presents Good Sports. To my left, Adam Carolla. Under my bum or on this chair, something like that. Dave Damashek here on the line. Our pal, Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, Even Money, all available on iTunes. What's the poop, Ross Tucker? Ross, yep.
Check, what's up, man? Adam, how are you?
Good to talk to you again, Ross. Sheck has a couple of stories with you as the star. So
I know, but the star is that football season's here, and I'm over the moon, and my heart is filled with song, as I'm sure yours is, Ace, and yours, Ross Tucker. But let's start with another pseudo-sporting event, eating competitions, Ace. We've talked about those a lot here. Tucker once bragged to me, oh, it'd be so, you know, those little Dunkin' Donut munchkins, those little donut holes, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I could polish 100 of those over the course of an hour, no problem. Tucker, I gave you 100 of those donut holes one day, didn't I?
Check. This is why you give, and thankfully you're not a journalist, but this is how journalists get a bad name. First of all, you asked me one time, if my life depended on it, how many donut munchkins from Dunkin' Donuts do I think I could eat? And I said, I don't know, probably like 100?
100,
he says.
So
then you and I go to lunch. We literally, Adam, go to lunch, and I order a lot of food at lunch.
A salad.
And then right after that, we are recording Damashek's football program. And on the show, he brings out 100 munchkin. Now, first of all, I'm already full. Second of all, what am I going to do there? I'm not really going to be able to eat all 100.
You're
so
the one
the
who
point?
You're shooting your mouth off. You shouldn't put your mouth where your mouth is then. That's what you said you could do it.
You can't have a sneak attack surprise food contest.
Oh, yes, I can.
And tell me when it's coming.
I want to, this is reminding me, this eating contest. I've come up with a new character, Ross and Sheck, called Ernest Bigot. He asks horrible questions, but he's very earnest about it. So here goes. Have you seen the Coney Island hot dog eating competition where they ram all those hot dogs in their mouth in such a short period of time? Now, they don't let gay guys participate in that because they'd have an unfair advantage, right?
What is that?
I'm just asking.
I don't know how that could be.
Well, obviously, if you're gay, you have an unfair advantage.
Oh, I guess I know what you mean, but I think you're
woefully... I'm just asking. Ernest Bigot is... I just want to know. I'm just asking. I'm not saying anything. It's my new character, Ernest Bigot.
I'm glad that Ernest Bigot... I remember when Ernest Racist first made an appearance. Now Ernest Bigot is on
that's
the scene
cousin,
to take down to take down gays and everybody else. Yeah, Tucker, just round the story out. How many munchkin donut holes did you end up consuming on that day?
Only like five or six,
because
I knew I had no chance at 100, and I knew that you would rip me no matter how. So I'm sitting here. I'm a former offensive lineman, Adam, that is doing everything I can to try to stay under 260. When I got married, I was 335, heaviest day of my life. So, like, what good would it have done if I took down 25 munchkins? Nothing. I shouldn't have even eaten the six. I should not have dignified. I shouldn't even have had one.
No, you're right. You know, Sheck tells you to dance. It doesn't mean you have to
do
a
jig for
the piper.
You want to shoot your mouth off out of your own sense of dignity. You eat as many as you can polish.
I have a question for Ross and Sheck watching Monday Night Football last week. They froze the kicker with the timeout in the very last second. Gary's very upset over here because he's a huge
Chargers
fan, and Chargers just find new and frustrating ways to lose for their fans. It's like they're trying to punish their fans. I'm not a big fan of the stand there next to the ref and be able to just stare at the clock and do that. I feel like once the play is underway, it's underway. I don't know. I just don't like it, and I feel like it's frustrating, and it's going to go away. Just like many things, either you know, it's like raising the height of the goalpost. It had to happen eventually. Now it has. Isn't that going to go away,
Tucker?
Or do you want it to go away, Tucker? Mm-mm. Ross may have fallen off. Let's see. Ross? All right, we'll work on getting him back on. What do you feel, Sheck?
It's interesting.
Well, first off,
psychologically, people
can get injured. Like, it's an NFL play where people are going all out. I mean, guys are laying out for that ball. Guys are going up the middle and dive. You know, it's not a take a knee kind of play. It's a game changer.
You're so right about that. I don't know. That's never crossed my mind, but you're right. Of course, a lot of players will tell you exactly as they try to limit the exposure on kickoffs and otherwise that extra point. What it formerly was when they were doing it from the 2.5 yard line was a throwaway play. You weren't if you're at the line of scrimmage, you're not trying to bust through there on an extra point. It was pretty routine stuff. Now that it's as far out as it is, the players are more engaged. So
this is field goal,
right? But so the repetition of that, the doing that twice potentially, I'm with you. And the psychological thing, it's just a crazy. It is fascinating to watch though when it goes through. And they, oh, nope, the timeout was called before that. Now he's got to do it again. But there is something, I'm with you, there's something that feels unseemly about it. It's gamesmanship. It's not cheating. But I'm with you completely that there's something that feels like, we don't need this, do we?
Ross Tucker's back. Ross, what do you think of this plan? What do you think of this plan?
I don't care for it because I think it, I don't like having the drama, and it's like they're pulling the rug out from under us. Like, okay, here's the game-winning kick. Here we go. This is to tie it. This is to go to overtime. And sometimes you can't even hear the whistle blow. You don't even realize that the kick doesn't count.
Right.
I also think visually it looks terrible. It's like they give you the end of the movie. They're giving you the payoff, but then it's not really the end. Then there's like this oh, no, here's the alternate ending, which a lot of times isn't as cool. And it's you lose some of the luster, and in this case, the Chargers lost the game.
I think they're going to do away with it if sooner than later. But I'll tell you what I would do. If I was the kicker, I'd go full Varsity Blues on the coach. If I saw the coach on the sideline standing next to the ref, just standing there with his hand on his shoulder looking at the play clock, I'd boot the ball right at his fat ass. I'd kick it right at him. And I would certainly always miss the one intentionally, because the coach, Denver Stadium would go insane if you're lining up to kick that ball. You see the coach standing next to the ref, call a tee, you boot it right at your center's ass. You kick it right into the back of his sack. They go, oh, the crowd goes nuts. And then they go, oh, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Your guy called a timeout.
Coaches have gotten burned
again.
By that.
They
coaches
have.
Yeah. The guy has missed it, and then he drills it on the redo.
Would you?
And you know what?
Yes.
The other thing is that they do sometimes now is the coach, Adam, will go over and stand next to the ref, but not actually call it.
Uh-oh.
Like, is that what we want? Is that what we want, like,
yeah,
detective sleuth coaches going over the ref and acting like they might ice them, but not, like, there should be no point in football where the coach walking over the ref has, like, an impact on the game and, like, you know, acting like he might do something. He's not one of the 22 participants in the field with a helmet and shoulder pads on.
I agree, and I will also then, I don't know why, but I'll extend it to basketball. I don't like it when the guy's falling out of bounds and calls a timeout in the middle of falling out of bounds. That seems against the spirit
Henny
of
player.
The sport.
That's what,
player.
He gets hailed for that. Hey, Tucker, real quick, I want to get some NFL analysis from you. So the Saints lose on Monday night, of course, way back on Thursday night. By the way, Maurice Jones-Drew, shout out to him. He's the only human being I'm aware of who said that the Chiefs were going to go into Foxborough and win that game. 42 points by Alex Smith and company. Unbelievable stuff. Are the Patriots best bet? I think we all know how this story ends. The Patriots now get angry. This is now their narrative. Oh, no one believes in us now. Now we,
right.
They win 14 or 15 over the remainder of the regular season here. But are you actually concerned about them?
So two things there. Number one, it's funny, like MJD, you mentioned going with the Chiefs. The longer I'm in the media, the more I realize that's the way to go.
That's
just
right.
Go so hard on the opposite of everybody else. If you're right, you look like a genius. If you're wrong, everybody already spent so much time the week before saying you were an idiot so that they don't even take the time after the game to say that you're wrong, because it's
Jimmy
like they
Kimmel.
Knew you were going to be wrong.
Jimmy Kimmel did that at the Super Bowl.
You know what?
Yep. Sorry, go ahead.
I am a little bit concerned, but I don't know, man. I mean, I was with the Bills in 2003, and we beat them 31-0, and we were on the cover of Sports Illustrated and the whole deal.
I remember that. We went
5-10 in the next 15 games. They went 17-1 and won the Super Bowl. So I feel like, to your point, we've seen this too many times.
My two lock bets for this coming week, and I don't even know who's playing, but I always bet New England the week after they lost, because it's always come back and something to prove. And then you got to feel like my Rams are going to lose to the East Valley Trojans Pop Warner football team. So the Rams will cave. And the exact same math you do with New England, do with the Rams, and you'll get a cup parlay that. You'll get a couple of a nice payday. Ross Tucker, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and Fantasy Feast, and Even Money, available on iTunes, and you can go to rosstucker.com if you'd like to say hi to Ross and find out what's going on. Thanks, Ross.
Absolutely, fellas. Great talking with you guys. Take care. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you soon. The Rams playing, and who's New England playing? But
New England, I'll tell you. I mean, I was not overly optimistic about where the 2017 Saints were going. But Drew Brees in New Orleans under that dome is at his very best, and now they're 0-1. That's not a. If you just watched Alex Smith hang 42 on that defense, it's not like, oh, well, the Patriots will definitely go in there and take care of that. I could see Drew Brees having a good day. On the other side of things, the Saints defense is crummy too, so Tom Brady should have a day. Shootout coming.
Well, take the Patriots, and if they lose, well, then the Patriots lose. So that's a win and in and of itself.
That's exactly right. Win-win for all of us. All right.
And
Adam,
to answer your question before we go, the Redskins are at your Rams.
All right. Oh, they're out here. Okay.
I like the white and blue helmets there, Ace.
I do, too.
Very nice.
Let's bring it home.
All right. There we are. That's it for today's presentation. Podcast One Sports of Good Sports. Good Sports.
And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast. Read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
I love the variety, the interesting guests, listening to Adam, rank and appreciate the common sense and attitude. He of the great world as Ace.
Eloquent and succinct. Go to iTunes, rate and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Waiting for Gene Simmons, of course, from Kiss, and who I know fairly well because I think we did one of our first Take a Knees with him. Gary and I went over to his pad.
His museum.
Up in the Bel Air area and spoke to him. And I'm trying to think if there's somebody who has a sort of bigger chasm between the persona that people know of him and the real guy. The real guy is a Hungarian who moved to Israel when he was probably 7 or 8.
Chaim.
Yeah.
I can't remember his last name.
Was raised in Israel, then went to, with like no money. Like he would tell me stories about, but it's interesting where it starts. Like,
it was a teacher, right?
His mom was a teacher.
I thought he was
think.
A teacher.
Well, he started in Israel. He went, they would do things like this. If you see your kid doing things like this, then don't worry about it. And yes, I think you're right. Ended up in like Brooklyn, I think. Go up to the hills in Israel, pick all those big red cactus berries off of the cactus, and then wait down for when the tour bus shows up to pick up the tourist and sell them a cactus berry at a nickel a piece, right, or whatever they use in Israel. If you see your kid doing that at age 8 or 9, you're done. That's it. That's all. Mm-hmm. That one act. That if your kid is hanging around going, "Hey, come on, give me some money. Come on," not good. If he goes, "I'm going up to the hill and I'm going to get myself some cactus berries and I'm going to sell them to the tourists," done. Because every single successful person I know has those stories. That whatever that thing is, it kicks in early.
Early, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same. Teenage drug dealers do that. Like, just, it's that same thing of like, that's right.
Also, I hate to spoil it because these are set up as mysteries.
Yes,
but
sixth grade teacher, so says Gary. Yes.
But there's a great micro episode. It's episode 69 called A Little Dabble Do Ya, and I'll just leave it at that. Give it a listen. I think you'll find it familiar and interesting. He doesn't reveal who it's about till the end, but you can guess because of the subject.
A Little Dabble Do
Ya. Yeah, it's a great 5-minute listen. Exactly.
Paul Stanley.
Jeans on. Little Dabble Do Ya. You guys know where that's from?
The Brill Cream?
Yeah, it was an advertisement.
Brill Cream, A Little Dabble Do Ya, for folks who use their head about their hair. I think that's what it is. Gary will find it. Gene's on. I'll tell you quickly about LifeLock, and then we'll punch up Gene. Equifax recently announced a breach that could affect 143 million Americans. It's worse than I thought. 200,000 credit card numbers were accessed, plus personal data, including social security numbers for about 180,000 were accessed. Let's not let that happen to you, man. Let's not be a statistic. Let's get LifeLock, man. I have it. Have it for the kids. Have it for the wife. If you have a social security number, you need LifeLock. It's 2017. You're on the computer. Do you need to hear any more stories about what's being embedded into smartphones or computers? What else do you need to know?
The signs are all around.
You need to fight back. It detects a wide range of identity threats you may miss by just monitoring your credit. like someone stealing from your 401k. So if there's a problem, the U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. It's the best. It's LifeLock, Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam, that's Adam, for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
You have the Brill Cream jingle?
Doing what?
Brill Cream, a little dab will do ya. Brill Cream, you look so debonair. Brill Cream, the gals will all pursue ya. They'll have to get their fingers in your hair.
All right, now see if there's one from the 70s or the 60s, and I'll talk to Gene Simmons, who's probably not currently wearing Brill Cream. Gene?
Oh, I'm wearing everything all at once. You just mix it up and you get that nuclear U-238 glow.
Gene has a new product out. It is the Vault Experience. It's commemorating Gene's 5 decades in rock. 5 decades in rock and roll.
Well, Uncle Adam, you're close, but no cigars. Here's how it goes. The GeneSimmonsVault.com. It is, in fact, literally the largest box set of all time. It approaches 3 feet high. It weighs almost 40 pounds. It's on metal wheels. Looks just like a vault. It's got a, you know, the number thing that twirls and all that. Inside are 10 CDs, 150 songs spanning 50 years from the very first song I wrote in 1966 all the way to 2016. Inside some of the 150 never-before-released tracks are Bob Dylan and I fooling around and coming up with the songs, which resulted in 3 songs. And Bob and I are actually on the box set. It's difficult to call it a box set because it's so goddamn massive. Inside, Bob and I are actually writing it. So you hear the process with Bob and I are kind of strumming and try this, try that. Van Halen brothers are on 3 tracks, including Christine 16. Joe Perry is on a 1978 track called Mongoloid Man. All the Kiss guys, Ace, Paul, Ringo, Paul, you know, all the Pauls. They're all on there. And for me, this is a game changer. And what I tried to do is to just take stock of the fact that retail is dying. Sears is closing, no more record stores. People are streaming and downloading and all kinds of other stuff. And I would have none of it. So this is not available in retail. The largest box set of all time is not available online. There will be no other versions. This costs $2,000. Now, the actual box set is probably the most expensive box set of them all, but what I'm going to do, nobody's ever done before. If you live in Oulu, Finland, or Moscow, or Australia, and you buy a Vault box set, I'm going to pay for my plane trip, and I'm going to hand-deliver it to you in a local area. That's what I'm going to do. Knock on the door. Here's the Vault box set which you ordered, and I will take it to where you are. The mountain will come to you, Mohammed.
Well, speaking of that, Gene Simmons, and first off, it's funny, when you said Sears is closing, my first thought is, where are parents that hate their kids going to get their jeans?
Oh, yeah.
Because my parents got me jeans, tough skins.
Adam, they can always come to me because I am a Gene.
I forgot about that. So was I right in saying, and one of my favorite conversations with you was on Take a Knee, where you were born in Hungary and grew up in Israel. Were you born in Israel?
Close and no guitars. I was born in Israel. My mother and my father are Hungarian, so I speak Hebrew and Hungarian and German and English and very little Japanese, as a matter of fact.
And everything with you is about America and the entrepreneurial spirit. That's what I gathered.
Well, not a bad idea. And it's a good wake-up call for anybody that's from here and takes things for granted, because right now in Africa, North Korea, Iran, and across the border in the south, everybody else wishes they were here. In fact, we have more illegal immigrants in this country than there are populations on some of the countries in the world.
What is your take as somebody who was born in Israel, parents were from Hungary, and who ended up here and was able to make the kind of life that you've been able to make for yourself? What is your take on the sort of, or the psychological dynamic of all the self-loathing that's going on around here? Not the immigrants. I'm just talking about rich whitey sort of deciding that we should burn the flag, or deciding that we live in this horrible culture and this horrible nation with this horrible history. It seems more and more prevalent. And I, other than being out of problems, I can't figure out where this is coming from, but I was born here. You have a sort of unique perspective. What do you think?
I think the perspective is clearly on my side. Immigrants who come to America, legal ones, that is, because there's a distinct difference. Legal immigrants come here, go through the line, do it legally, get their fingerprinted and the number and all that, become tax-paying citizens and become, you know, the fiber of America that propels it forward, are the most patriotic. It's very clear. I mean, it doesn't take much to get me crying. You know, I'm 6'2", 230 pounds. I'm not a little guy. I really don't care about soap operas and, you know, do I have my mother's hips and why won't he call me in the morning and all that nonsense. But you put a flag waving up there and you bring to mind a vet who sacrificed his life, and I'm just, oh, yeah, I break down.
Gina,
I break down.
I love that about you, and I know that about you, and I don't think many people may not know that about you, but
that's not something you tug on somebody's shirt sleeves. Either you love America or not, and if you do love America, you know, the idea of going and tugging on somebody's shirt sleeves and saying, "Did you know I love America?" It should come as a natural. Where else? I don't remember the last boatload of people who drop to their knees on shore, look up to the heavens, clasp their hands and say, "God, thank God I made it to France."
See that coming?
So, Gene, how old were you when you made the voyage over here, and what was that voyage, and where did you land, and do you remember that day? And then a question you're going to have to think about, which is, how much in tax revenue do you think you and KISS and the merch have generated? Like, if a young Gene Simmons decided to stay in Israel and sell cactus berries.
You mean over the years?
I'm talking about from the time you landed in, you know, at your Aunt Connie's place in Brooklyn at 11 till now.
If you ask me to guess, I don't know, $2 billion.
Whoa.
But when are you going to start paying your fair share, little guy from Israel?
Yeah. No,
nothing.
Listen, you're preaching to the converted. I'm a flat tax guy. I believe in self-empowerment. You've got all the opportunity in the world. And in point of fact, you have the choice to go to your computer and go to GeneSimmonsVault.com to find out all about the largest box set of all time.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, there is nothing you can't do in America. It's a double negative. It kind of means you can do anything. And people forget because they take it for granted. When we fly through the air, that's invented in America. When we talk on cell phones and we go, oh, that was invented in Israel. Sorry. But when we talk on the telephone, that's invented here. When we walk out at night and it's pitch black and you want some light, turn on the flashlight or the batteries, or you turn on the light, that was invented in America. Talking about television, invented in America. I mean, just go on and on and on. Everything was invented here, but it is a cross-section of humanity, if you will. You know, when you go to Sweden, everybody's blonde. You go to Japan, everybody's Japanese. You come to America, everybody looks different.
Well,
and
where...
because, yes?
Yeah, where... Dr. Drew always talks about the strength of diversity, just even in breeds, when you're talking about dogs, you know what I mean? The ones that are inbred, that get the hip dysplasia and everything else, but you mix that breed and you get that sort of super scrappy mutt. And I believe we're that way physically, but also from a sort of technological standpoint. We bring in, you know, it's like, hey, the Germans are going to exterminate the Jews. Good, get them over here and get them working on the atomic bomb.
Well, that's exactly what happened. We played concerts in the Werner von Civic Center in Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. Well, that guy was a Nazi who invented the V-2 rockets, and we brought him over here. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
And so that's okay. That's all good, because it helped us get there first, and the Russians didn't. And between them and us during the Cold War, we were the good guys.
Well, that's kind of...
I firmly believe we continue to be the good guys. I'm from Israel, and I don't care what your political persuasion. If we're not good, if the good guys, who the hell is?
Well, I'm with you. First off, I'm an atheist, not a dog in the fight, never understood about whoever is, you know, wants sanctions against Israel. I feel like they're the only good guys, only white hats in that whole region are Israel. I have no idea why we'd want to turn on these people. But it's a very good point, because we're now in this world where we're thinking about, you know, we've changed Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. We're pulling down statues left and right. Eventually, it's going to get to a lot of founding fathers and people like that, because everyone is just one or two moves away from slavery or whatever. But the guy who invented the rocket was a Nazi, but we brought him over here and he helped us with our space program. But are we supposed to erase his name from the history books? Like, what are we supposed to do with everyone? Go ahead.
The answer to your question, Uncle, is I have a decidedly different point of view, and that is, it's not about tearing down General Lee's statue. He and Grant were actually classmates at West Point. I used to teach this stuff in sixth grade when I taught in Spanish Harlem in New York. They were classmates. They were buddies. They just had a difference of opinion. In the South, there's no whitewashing the message, and I mean that literally. They wanted and they perceived slaves, African Americans, as being less than human. And the North wanted to give them a vote. Now, by the way, initially, the Mason-Dixon line and all that, they were willing to give them two-thirds of a vote, not a full vote initially, but it was more citizen, closer to citizenship. And don't kid yourself, the Civil War was about racism. One side wanted slaves, the other one said not. And then there were, of course, the side issues of taxes and the Industrial Revolution, and one was a farming area. I get that. There were carpetbaggers. I get it. There were lots of other issues. But foremost on it was the United States of America wanted to abolish slavery, and the southern states did not. And the Civil War was about that. So leave the Confederate flag up there, but put under it the sign of slavery, you know, slavery. Owners or people that didn't want to get it. It's clear history. George Washington had slaves. But that's not hidden. Nobody says that's not true. It is true. And so did Benjamin Franklin. He sired children who were mulattoes, his children and the slave's children. That's part of history. But in the South, it's hidden. We don't talk about that. We just like the cool bars and stripes. I'm all for, you want to leave a statue up there? Cool. But the plaque that says so, former slave owner and blah, 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 Robert E. Lee, head of the Confederate forces to secede from the Union, like, just tell the truth.
Look, I'm with you, too, especially if it's history. That's the whole point. We're supposed to learn from that.
But what I object to is the heroic, you know, on the white horse, almost messianic. No, they were the bad guys. They were the bad guys. They were on the wrong side of the moral compass, if you will.
So, Gene, how old were you when you landed here from Israel?
I was 8 before I was 9. You see what I did there?
Mm-hmm. You were 8, and you came over here on a boat, right?
No, we came on El Al Airlines, my mother and I.
Oh, really? I didn't know they're flying out from back then.
She got on the plane, and she said, we're only going one stop. And I didn't know what she was talking about, but the whole flight I was throwing up the entire way. That's what I do remember.
Tongue dragging on the ground.
Then when we landed, you know, I'd never heard of Christ or Santa Claus or anything. We land at the airport, and I look up, and there's a very jovial, you know, sort of fat, pudgy guy with a long beard, and he's smoking Kent cigarettes. And in the background, there are reindeer kind of floating in the sky. And I thought it was some Russian rabbi, because there's snow in the background. I never heard of Santa Claus. What's that? And then I found out there was a guy named Jesus, and he's Jewish and a rabbi, but he's God, and that anybody who's not Jewish is worshiping him. And then he had a mother and a father, but not this father, the other father up in the sky. You know, for a few years, I didn't know what the hell anybody was talking about.
What was the biggest... And so you stayed with a family member, right?
my mother worked the whole time, and I stayed with a foster family that took care of me while my mother worked.
Oh man, what a story! And what
Boy,
a success!
He had it easy.
What a success story! And yeah, thank God
we are. You want to talk about the American dream? You're
sure.
Talking to him. We are America's number one gold record award-winning group of all time in all categories. We outsell the Beatles and Elvis combined in licensing and merchandising. We have the Kiss Cruise, the Kiss Golf Course in Las Vegas at the Rio Hotel. You can ride to it in your Kiss limo service. I mean, it is literally an empire. But could I have done this in Zimbabwe? I don't think so.
No. I'm just going to go with no. What you guys can do is you can go to the website GeneSimmonsVault.com and look into one of the most impressive pieces of, I'll call it memorabilia, but it won't be doing it justice. And the possibility of Gene showing up to your doorstep and delivering it in person and hanging out in the studio.
Actually, that's a guarantee. If
that's
you
a guarantee.
Buy it, wherever you are in the world, I will come to your general area. And I will hand you your box set, the largest box set of all time.
That is
right. And it's not available in stores, online, nothing.
That is GeneSimmonsVault.com. Gene, thanks for calling in, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
You're a powerful and attractive man.
It's an interesting guy. My
Very
God.
Well, we should get one for the studio. Have Gene hand deliver
it. Oh, yeah.
Especially when you hear that guy's backstory. It's insane. All right. Let's Martin. See.
And no drugs, no drinking, right?
No, I know.
Clean
that's
living.
That's his only downfall. That's really, otherwise we could hang. All right. We got the news ready. We also got, let's see, who's on line three? Let me talk to Randy from Whittier. Randy?
What's going on?
What's going on, man?
Oh, I've got a story for you for Tommy John underwear.
Yeah, let's hear about that.
So, on a trip for work, on trying to go to New York, my kids decided to throw a fit as I was getting out the door. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know why they always do that. It must be a thing they just pick up on. But
they can sense you want to leave and get something done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyways, I know my wife is going to be pissed off when I return home. So I'm all distracted just trying to get to the airport, and naturally as soon as I get to the hotel and open up my suitcase, I noticed my underwear was missing.
Mm-hmm.
So pulled out my cell phone, jumped on TommyJohn.com and ordered myself up a 5-pack of underwear.
They bring it to the hotel?
Yeah, just overnight delivery.
That's such a power move. I'm scared to, like, order anything. I'm scared to get, like, you know, they do the thing where they're like, hey, we'll polish your shoes. I'm like, no, we're Corollas.
Can't get about my sight.
No, something's going to go bad. Yeah. Someone's going to find out about this. I'm going to get into trouble.
What's the catch?
Yeah.
I give you $8 and you give me what?
Your shoes.
Someone
back?
Else's shoes?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a weird thing. But, yeah, why not? They'll deliver it to your house. They'll deliver it to the host. So you get the 5-pack delivered to the hotel the next day.
Yep, next day. Avoid having to go into Sears. It's perfect.
Yeah,
again, find a Sears.
Without the Sears and the JCPenney's, how are we going to punish our kids from a jeans standpoint?
Yeah, we're going to take those terrible photos.
Yeah, terrible photos. But every kid, it was so easy at my junior high. It was like Levi's, parents that loved you. Sears, parents that were sort of apathetic, so-so. JCPenney, you should be removed from the house. That's how we know that was the pecking order of jeans. And the thing that was crazy about parents back then is they just go, look, I don't care if you become a pariah or never get laid. It's $1.85 cheaper to get you these jeans that are shiny with the reinforced knees. So we're going with those.
One day you'll understand.
Yeah, but without those, I don't know how we do the haves and the have-nots.
Wait, so the place that also sells air conditioners and refrigerators, a better place to get jeans than JCPenney?
Sears, the pecking order was they had the JCPenney Super Denims, tough. Then they had a step up from that. They had the Sears Tough Skins,
oh, okay.
Bad, all right. But better than Super Denim. And then they had
Levi's,
and that's where that was the big deal.
Another famous shoe.
All right, so Randy, you were you left your home in Whittier, headed to the East Coast with nothing but the underpants on your back, and when you found out, you got hold of Tommy John, and they delivered them to the hotel.
Absolutely,
I like that. All right, hold on. It's good. Grant, 36, Newport.
Baseball, Gina, how you doing?
Hey,
man, what's your story?
So I had a bachelor party. I was the best man, and we got 12 guys, 38-foot RV, headed out to Palm Springs for a golf trip.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's complaining about the heat. I got my Tommy Johns on.
Were you in Borat?
Those guys are great.
They're great for cleaning up the duck butter, you know, the Fremunda cheese. They work really well for that.
Uh-huh. All right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, I wear them every time I golf. They're phenomenal.
I'll tell you, I got to tell you, they got the right length. They got the right, they dry fast. But the, I jump in the swimming pool with them. I hang them out. They're dry in 15 minutes. You know, that's a big deal.
Because they're thin. And usually thin means cheap. But like this thin is like high quality thin. Like the microfiber.
Like microfiber.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go ahead and award Grant over here because active.
You're giving duck butter the free?
Yeah, I like Randy, but Randy did nothing more than hop on his phone and order some Tommy John's.
Grant got the RV.
Grant got the RV. You're a hero. And by the way,
thank you.
Smart to attach an activity to the bachelor party because you don't, it just becomes the bachelor party is to go golf or to go, we're going, whatever that is, houseboat, whatever it is. And then it's stripper, strippers, whores and strippers in between.
Like some horse in there.
You need a cover story though.
Right. But it goes down as a golf outing.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And golf's perfect because there's really no such thing as nighttime golfing. So fine. Golf from noon to 4 or 5 and then go to the brothel.
You know who's got a bachelor party coming up?
Hi, Gary.
Oh, Gary's got a bachelor party coming up.
Yeah. Golfing?
We're going to attach an activity?
You're going to give
it's all activities.
But have a wholesome theme.
Yeah. No, I don't want to do strip clubs. I've done so many bachelor parties.
So good.
I don't care.
Going.
I want to go like.
I love it. I almost believe it. It's perfect.
Straight,
keep going.
Red Light District.
Right.
Straight Bunny Ranch.
Right. No.
No. Yeah, like right. I'm gonna. I think we're gonna go.
You're burnt out
Bible
on
study.
A bachelor party. Right.
Arts I think we're gonna do like ATVs and.
Yeah. It's good.
Yep. Yeah.
Good.
Double ATVs.
Right. ATVs. It's
and
good.
Like, yeah, shooting or something like that.
All tits and vagina.
There you go. ATV. All tits and vagina. All right. Speaking of all tits.
Oh, man.
Gina Grad, should we do a little news?
Yes, we should.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, the telethon to benefit victims of Hurricanes Irma and Harvey, that was Tuesday night. It wrapped with fundraising efforts totaling over $14 million and counting, by the way, in just an hour. As TMZ reported, celebs like Al Pacino, Justin Timberlake, Jon Stewart, Leonardo DiCaprio, Justin Bieber, Reese Witherspoon, tons of people out there helping taking calls and raising awareness. As far as the musical portions concerned, Stevie Wonder, Usher, Blake Shelton, George Strait, Dave Matthews were among the performers. But the one that's getting the most attention is Stevie Wonder because he made a statement before he sang and a lot of people still talking about it. It's about climate change deniers. Here it is.
We've come together today to love on the people that have been devastated by the hurricanes. When love goes into action, it preferences no color of skin, no ethnicity, no religious beliefs, no sexual preferences, and no political persuasions. It just loves. As we should begin to love and value our planet, and anyone who believes that there is no such thing as global warming must be blind or unintelligent. Lord, please save us all.
Wait a minute, that means him. He's included himself in a group of climate change deniers.
He's self-deprecating.
I heard what he said. He called himself a climate change denier.
That's what he said. Yeah.
I said he gave you two categories, not a C's. Either blind or unintelligent. He could be both.
No one knows how intelligent.
He's definitely blind. Wow, Stevie.
That is a bold statement. Quite a
confession. Could we just move ahead with as much technology as we could possibly move forward with? Could we all just get ourselves some solar? Could we all just get ourselves one of those Tesla batteries and charge our Teslas overnight on it? Not because we're good people, but because we're selfish. I'm actually thinking, in a weird way, I think that the movement is being set back by the heroes. Lots of folks wanting to talk about it in a sort
of movement, the solar clean energy.
Yes, and more grander sweeping things and less boring stuff, which is how about we get legislators and folks to really start enacting stuff. Mm-hmm. Like really, let's really get going with the incentives to get those electric cars, to get the solar stuff going. Can we please move ahead with anyone who has technology? I mean, it's a kind of a grand thing. Like, we like to talk about, you know, polar caps and things, but I feel like who amongst us would not like to get free electricity and never pay for gasoline again? Mm. Like, for purely selfish. I think what we need to do is we need to take it from a sort of grandstanding position to a selfish position. Like, every bulb in my house is LED because I don't want to pay for the old filament tungsten variety. I have a water cooler at the other shop, but I don't like the idea of that thing just cooling the water all through the weekend when nobody's there. It's hotter than snot in that place. You know, on a Saturday or a Sunday, there's nobody around. Why am I chilling this tank the whole time? I put it on a timer. It's just like it's chilled during the weekday hours. Mm-hmm. And then when people go home on Friday night, it's not chilled. Mm-hmm. I do all of this. It's not because I love the environment. I like the environment. I love money.
You don't want to marry it.
I don't want to waste money, but I don't want to waste kilowatts. I don't want to waste anything. I was standing in my warehouse yesterday pulling Brad's Sunkist cans, orange soda cans, out of the regular trash can and throwing them in the recycling. Just because it's kind of the right thing to do. I don't brag about it on a podcast.
No.
I don't use the word hero because I took the extra time to pull the Sunkist out of there, rinse them,
using the water I paid for.
You don't hear me grandstanding.
You could.
I could, but I won't. I remain silent about my heroism.
And humble.
Now, I just want the movement where we start really, again, with the theory that people like to take a nice path of least resistance. You would like to get in your car and have it be fully charged by the sun every day and never have to stop at the gas station again and what have you. I would love to live in that world, and I wish instead of the super high-end talk, you know, it's Leonardo DiCaprio is talking about what's going on with the Paris Accord. I'd rather have a much more just sort of basic, what are we going to do house to house, city to city? What is, again, it's, you know, lots of click it or ticket, but not a lot of other discussions. Right. We don't even know like what plants to plant out here. We don't, this far into solar, it's still kind of a mystery. There are things you can do about collecting rainwater that runs off your roof. There are things you can do about storing electricity. We don't do any of it. And it's, and part of the reason we don't do any of it is because we have two modes. We have like Bill Maher has Bill Nye on his show, and he's talking about us out of oxygen by the year 2051. That's that. But all we can do is go, guess I'll tell my kids not to have kids.
Yeah.
Like, pull out. Like, I don't know what to do about that. And then you go to the other end, and there's some televangelist saying that none of this exists or is based in science and that the Bible says. We don't really have, like, a kind of in-between where it's like, hey, let's do something.
No, they're not putting this into action.
Yeah, hey, everybody who has a house, could we knock 20% off that? Could we give everybody a power strip cord thing where you plug it in and it doesn't, your computer or your TV doesn't stay in that weird mode that does the vampire robbing, the phantom robbing. Could we make people aware of these devices? Could we incentivize them to use these devices? It's like we have to either be sort of pie in the sky or kind of denier.
I agree.
But I just want to get somewhere in the middle and just go.
Get the wheels turning.
What's it going to take? Right. Let's go. Here we go now. Everybody should strive to say 3 years from now, be driving an electric car and be generating the electricity from the roof of their house and storing it in their garage in one of those panels, one of those Tesla panels to then charge that car. There you go. And it will have nothing to do with loving the environment. It'll have everything to do with wanting to essentially drive a car that's fueled for free.
I agree with everything you said. Do you not think the biggest problem is the message coming out of Washington is, we're going to put coal back to work. All you coal miners are going back to work and have great jobs. Like, fuck coal. We're past coal. It's inefficient. It's dirty. It's ruining everything. All you coal workers, guess what? Now you have jobs in solar or wind or whatever it is. Nuclear. Whatever that is, the next thing. Or build Teslas. Whatever it is, let's move forward. Instead, we're just jerking off our constituents. It's like, the coal people love me, so let's put them back to work.
Right, but it's the same with nuclear, and it's the same with natural gas. These are all things, the same people that don't want the coal, don't want nuclear or the natural gas either, and that's another thing. Right. So it's
everything butts into everything.
Here's what I understand. As far as the new technologies, it's kind of about the rest of the world. So basically, we're kind of there with a lot of stuff, but it's the rest of the world who we're sort of saying to, you guys need to get on to this new clean stuff. And they're like, so you guys got all built up with all your fossil fuels and all your coals and turned into an industrial powerhouse.
Right. And now
we're trying to develop, and we got to pull the plug on this, and we got to go to windmills.
Yeah.
We're
in the same stage of development we were 75 years
ago. Right. We want our abundant and cheap stuff from the ground to build ourselves up, and then we can come talk. So there's like a weird sort of like, it is a kind of a first world problem that we have. So that's part of the problem. I agree with you with coal. I wish everything was sort of unpoliticized and then we could just move ahead. We're not quite there, so I hear, with a lot of the technologies, but a lot are better than others, and I don't know what the future holds. All I know is if we really made a concerted, so again, we have people at the top explaining doom and gloom, we have people at the bottom denying what's going on, and we don't have enough people in the middle that are just making it a part of their life.
Yes.
And I wish we could just sort of take the middle and say to you guys, who cares what you believe?
This
doesn't matter what you believe. This is all about moving forward and technology and saving money. And you could say, look, some people like vinyl, some people like files, some people like CDs. The future is the files. There's no moving parts. It's cheaper. You want to save money. So it's like, just appeal to people's sort of their pocketbook. I just want to save money. You don't have to be a hero. You don't have to be a tree hugger. You don't have to be anything. This is just going to be the future.
Right.
This is what we're going to do. This is what it's going to be. And then let's try to expedite that. And all I hear is talk at the top and talk at the bottom. I don't hear just a whole bunch of unsexy middle talk,
Nuts and bolts.
Just nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Let's see, the average house does nothing but waste. You know, the average house has single-pane glass windows that leak like a sieve and don't have enough insulation in the attic and aren't properly vented. And the heating, you know, you take your average house, you turn on the air conditioning, you go up in the attic, you can find five spots where cold air was leaking out between ductwork that wasn't properly connected. We're talking about duct tape and zip ties and a general inspection. We're not talking about Elon Musk. We're talking about just a guy crawling around up there giving an inspection. The general furnaces are running at whatever efficiency because the filters are dirty and they haven't been changed. What if we simply took whatever we put into Click It or Ticket or slow for the cone zone or conserve water, we're in a drought zone or whatever it is, and put it into, hey, once a year you're supposed to replace your filter. Mm-hmm. You got to replace the filter in your system.
And no one
you're
knows
losing
that.
Tons of kilowatts. We're burning and we're not running efficiently because you have an old filter in there and your kids are breathing dirty
the
air.
They'll say the health concern.
Right. I've never even heard anything about a filter. They're $9 at Home Depot, but you got to swap them out once a year. Does the average homeowner even, is that even a discussion? Okay. But radon gas, third hand smoke, school to prison pipeline, these all things that don't exist.
We're well versed.
We'll never stop talking about all that. And I'm just saying, could we get some sort of real life boots on the ground, city officials doing their job, not talking about Al Qaeda, not talking about global warming, not talking about deniers or Antifa or whatever it is. It's just a simple change to filter and clean the air. And make your system run 60% more efficiently. What about that?
Yeah, it's
good. Never discussed.
Nope.
Not sexy, not fun. And no one's going to go on Bill Maher and discuss changing filter. But just saying, just that kind of talk. Watch for people walking on all roadways.
This is
the sign.
Every freeway now.
Yes, change your furnace filter. How long's it been?
Update your emergency kits.
Yeah.
It's just anything. Anything. I mean, honestly, you go crawl up in your attic, turn your air on, you'll feel cold air shooting out. You'll see like where the things are, a rat chewed a hole in a thing and it's just coming out. It's common sense. It's not sexy. Nobody wins. No one is asked to go on Bill Maher's show and no one wins an election based on cleaning your filter.
You're the air filter guy.
Yes. But that's what Mr. Boring is looking for. All right.
You know, we should have people tweet us selfish ways that they inherently help the environment and just hashtag green selfish and we'll get some ideas.
Yeah. I just got done telling my daughter, I give her $100. She can put together 2 months of keeping her lights off in her room. I put things on timers. I switch everything to LED. I do get up there and roll the radiant barrier on the ceiling. You know, if you go look at the other shop, and I think if you look at this shop too, if you get up in the ceiling, you'll see silver paper on the roof, on the inside of the rafters. It's radiant barrier. I go buy it, you staple it up there. Makes a huge difference. But nobody talks about radiant barrier anywhere. Never heard that discussion on a PSA. I see 1,000 PSAs about you talking to your kids, but never about goddamn radiant barrier.
Ooh, combine them. Talk to your kids about radiant barriers.
Yeah, how about something?
Two words.
Read to your kids. Talk to your kids. It's just shut up and talk about something. It's our fault. I mean, we really don't, we don't put our money where our mouth is. We love to talk about polar caps and melting and climate, but we never get boots. We never talk about radiant barrier, rolling out some insulator, replacing the filter, cleaning the ducts, you know, just all the millions of things you can do on your, just on one house. Never. Look, you want to talk about greenhouse gases or whatever it is, and you know, whatever the polluter, what's ever coming out of the tailpipe of your car. Your car will get 15-20% better mileage, or at least 10% better mileage when the tires are properly inflated, times a kajillion cars on the road, and I'll guarantee less than 5% of them would pass that test where all four tires were at their proper inflation. Can you put that on the goddamn sign?
Easy fix.
And then you save a ton in fuel.
And lives.
And lives and in greenhouse gases.
Yeah.
So are you, LA, California. Are you interested? Are you interested? Because I don't think you are, because you've never put that on a sign.
Yeah.
But you've talked a lot about, you know, greenhouse gases and the polar bears and the ice caps, but yet you've never put that on a sign. So what is it, and why aren't we that way? And it's sad. It's like we're only interested in grandstanding, not interested in all of the boring stuff.
We only pretend to care.
We're basically like, every time I talk to somebody and they go, oh, you make documentaries. I'm interested in making doc. Can I come down and check out or see what's going on? You're like, yeah. Here's Smokey Eunuch. He's an old engine builder. We talked to him for 4 hours. Go in that room and transcribe it. Oh.
That doesn't sound fun.
When's the premiere?
Yeah, when's the red carpet?
Yeah, like, I want shrimp. Like, yeah.
Do I get a producer credit?
This is how you make a documentary. You sit in a room and transcribe some old fart talking about cars. That's, nope. Are you down? Are they down with that?
Mm-mm.
No. They want to be there to design the poster.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what it's
that's
about.
That's the icing. That's the fun stuff.
And by the way, we don't need you for that. We need you for this. All right. Anyway.
Thanks, Stevie Wonder.
Oh, forgot. Well, he's blind, so he's a denier. True Car, baby. Shopping for a car? Make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out that they're not available. True Car. Real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer, everybody. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So, you want to buy new? You want to buy used? You go True Car. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, you go to True Car. You see what everyone else is paying for the exact same car. You lock in your price. You get your certificate. You go to your True Car certified dealer, and pow, you get your new car or used car. You enjoy a more confident buying experience. Some features not available in all states, but it is the best. It's True Car. All right, one more.
All right. Well, Apple introduced its new iPhone X Tuesday. It goes for the low, low price of $1,000. Oh, by the way, they also introduced the 8, but nobody cares. They said it's more like an iPhone 7S. The new phone does away with the home button. It's all screen except for a small notch at the top that houses the selfie camera lens and sensors.
What's the home button? The one in the middle, the big one?
This one.
The
down
only
here.
Button.
The
yeah,
one
the
you push?
Mm-hmm.
No, none of that.
None of that. None of that crap. It's made of glass and stainless steel. That's kind of a throwback to the iPhone 4, but it is not old technology. Here's some of the new features. A longer battery life, a plugless charging system, so you basically just put it on a mat, and facial recognition. It goes on sale on October 27th. It ships on November 3rd, and I'm sure there'll be a long line of nerds waiting for it.
I can't.
Sorry, Gary.
Get this phone.
People are already lined up.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot get. How far in advance?
What?
When are they lined up?
It goes on sale October 27th.
They didn't understand that, but people started lining up before the keynote, not expecting that.
See, basically, I can't get this phone, and the reason I can't get this phone is the same reason why the morbidly obese guy can't go into the specialized mountain bike dealership and have the guy go, this is our best model, sir. This is a carbon fiber reinforced titanium. This titanium frame.
It's so light it'll float if you lift it up.
Sealed ball bearing hubs, and those are made of aluminum, R37 aluminum. The bike itself weighs less than 13 pounds. It's actually 2 pounds lighter than the one used to win the Tour de France. And that guy just goes, you got any chili fries? Like, I am nowhere near good enough to deserve. Right. It would be a desecration. Yeah. For me to even go near this phone.
So what's it going to take for us to get you into a jitterbug?
Yeah, I need a jitterbug with oversized numbers.
With 411 on speed dial.
That's right. It would be a total desecration for me to pick that up. All I would do is make phone calls and then stare at it when there were numbers I didn't recognize and wonder whether to pick it up or not.
Occasionally take pictures of people on planes with dogs. And
yeah, like that
feet,
that kind of stuff. Right. But that's as deep as I could ever get.
Brian, that's what his disposable camera's
that's
for.
Right.
And
to wind it?
Yes.
I don't need the facial recognition. I don't even have the code on my phone now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the other thing. How do you let somebody else into your phone? Like, here, open this up. Here's the code. What, they got to look like
there's
you?
There's a code as well.
Oh, okay.
All there's right. There's got to be a code as
oh,
well.
And, Gary, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there are an emojis because it has facial recognition, so it'll make your face into a monkey or a tiger.
Or a pile of poop.
Yep. That was a band that sung You're My Obsession.
That's right.
What?
Oh, an yeah. Emoji. An emoji. Yeah.
That's a great song.
Copyright
you'll find
infringer.
It. Yeah. It's like
You're My Obsession.
Probably the best song to either hook up with a chick to or beat off when you're high on cocaine.
So this is a down the middle of the plate tool tune.
They weren't really called an emoji, were
An emoji.
An emoji.
Oh, you guys are liars.
What's the name of the band?
An Emotion.
That's what we said.
Then what did you hear?
What did you hear?
An Emoji.
That's what we
That's
said.
That's not a band.
I didn't think it was.
An Emotion's a band.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Not even a thing.
You guys said An Emotion.
this is where the guy takes the Casios and spreads them out as wide as they can.
I think this is the keytar.
Oh, the keytar.
Yeah, upright.
Not a bad song. You were an
obsession. I cannot sleep.
Yes!
An emoji circa 1986 5 84
where they're kind of dancing in strobe.
I just remember the song like this is the peak of me not getting laid phase.
The blondes with the prom dresses.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just look at other guys who are getting laid and go, wow, this must be a good song for you.
I stand by this song.
I stand by.
Windows Stay Down.
Oh, well, they go way up.
Okay, just make sure.
Tool too.
Yeah. Okay,
but
just make
did
sure.
You know that you know the band emoji?
I'm so confused. I thought it was Animotion.
All right. Let me do a little work here with Geico, man. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save some money on your auto insurance? How about we go with Geico? Go to geico.com. Spend 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Why wouldn't you do that? Make that your obsession. Saving money on your auto insurance. Hey, I'm a dad now.
Yep.
I got other priorities, man. I want to save some do-re-mi. Go to geico.com. Spend 15 minutes. Could be saying 15% or more on your auto insurance. All right. Let's see. Not Taco Bell material. Me coming to Chicago. Park West. Saturday. That's the 23rd. That's coming up a week from Saturday. Come
got
say hi.
I got some grads coming to see that show in Chicago. They're so
oh,
excited.
Oh, the grads. Oh, make sure they hang out afterward. We'll say hi and take a picture and all that good stuff. Friday, October 13th, Minneapolis Music Hall. And then October 14th, Nashville Polk Theater. Come say hi. Those are the one-man shows. And we got the live shows, October 5th, Irvine. October 26th, Bakersfield. November 12th, Oxnard, everybody. Those are the live podcasts. Come out. Those always sell out. Always good. Couple tickets left for the Corolla Cruise. Go to travelbyparker.com. We're going to have so much fun on that. That's November 30th. Key West, Cozumel. It's all going to be fun. You want some merch, some mugs, some buck slips. Be a winner. Get a buck slip, man. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Check out Corolla Drinks and Chassis with two S's and a Y. We got lots of good stuff coming your way. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Lisa Lampanelli, Gene Simmons, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo. I haven't gotten laid in 4 years. I don't miss it.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Love us. Leave us a thumbs up on Facebook. And then leave us a voicemail with your questions and comments at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee. You will get a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at AdamCarolla.com. Gina Grad is on the radio weekdays at 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles, California. For tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including the Carolla Cruise in November, Mangry events, books, movies, and more, go to AdamCarolla.com.
The
Hello, this is Coach Jim Harbaugh with my esteemed colleague and co-host JT Rogan. And we're excited to announce our new podcast, Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, that's coming to Podcast One.
Each week, we'll be talking to different members of the Harbaugh family, along with athletes, celebrities, and unique guests.
On different episodes, we'll have my dad, Jack, my brother, John, my sister, Joni, my wife, Sarah, and even my kids from time to time. We'll have great guests each week, and we'll attack each podcast with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Sounds pretty good to me. So join us each Tuesday on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast here on Podcast One. Also, make sure to subscribe on PodcastOne.com, on the new Podcast One app, or at Apple Podcasts. And Coach, who's got it better than us?
I know the answer to that, JT. Nobody.